Well, good morning, and welcome to yet another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We are tickled to death to have you guys here with us today. Man, look at this. Friday, December the 24th. You know what tomorrow is. That's right. So get the kids in bed early tonight because you know Santa's coming. He's going to have his sled full of presents, big times, families all around. My good mother and grandmother have come in from out of state, and my son has arrived from out of state. And so we've got a house full of love. Got the grandkids coming probably in a couple of days, Monday, I guess. Man, just lots going on. But the Gospel Radio Network is still pumping and is still pushing out the gospel programming. And so we're so very grateful for the Sudhoff family that help us so much in this. The Sudhoffs have been down with COVID. So we would ask you to continue to pray for them and their success in getting through this, certainly even quarantine time when they're all bagged up in the house together and probably bouncing off the walls. But anyway, wish you guys well and be well soon. Also, we know that the Smithies are down there working hard behind the scenes to help TGRN stay up and running. And we appreciate them very much. They're also certainly behind the Telstar Network, and we talk about that pretty often. But lots of things going on behind the scenes that most of us just don't see and sometimes don't acknowledge. So a big thank you to all those that work so hard to make this run in such a great fashion. Welcome to the program this morning, and if you're listening, I know that you're out there probably wrapping last-minute presents, or maybe you're on the way down the street to get your last present for so-and-so, and maybe you run out of scotch tape and you're on your way over to the dollar store, or maybe you're like the rest of us that are at work, and so... whatever the situation is, thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Radio Network. We are terribly thankful for your time and your efforts. So good morning to my incredible wife, Jody. Love you very much, and thank you for listening. I know my mom and grandma listen. Well, grandma may not be up yet, actually, but glad to have mom listening in. Mikey, old Mikey's out there listening in. He had a great week this week, I'm sure, and been working with one of our brothers a little bit this week, trying to help him out on his construction site. Anyway, lots of guys listening. I know that the McClures listen pretty regular up in South Dakota. I know the Hockets listen over in Virginia and the Poes down in Alabama, and we just got folks all over the place listening. We try to, if I forget anyone, I try not to forget our first responders. We have many first responders that are listening, some of our very own family, obviously, and they have told others, you know, about the Gospel Radio Network, so their influence is working hard even today. But we appreciate those guys like Brad and Brian and Eric and Colby and, you know, Kaysen. These guys that are out there just constantly running the front lines, keeping us safe and helping us. So thank you. Thank you for helping us, and thank you for listening to us. So many thanks to all the listeners that are out there, as we say, in kind of a Captain Obvious way. You know, without y'all, there would be no network. So thank you very much for listening in even today. Hope your Christmas is great tomorrow. On our bulletin board, we don't have anything different from last week. And so just for basically the benefit of those that may not have been tuned in last week, we would remind you that we got an announcement for January the 9th. congregation up in DeKalb. They have invited Phil Sanders in for a gospel meeting. So January 10th through the 12th, Monday through Wednesday, is going to be 7 p.m. each night. But then the day before on Sunday, January the 9th, remember that their regular times are 9:30, 10:30, and 6. And that's just about the way it is everywhere. But 9:30, 10:30, and 6, if you're in the DeKalb area, make sure and run by and worship with them and have the great pleasure, the great blessing of listening to Phil Sanders preach the gospel. He is very well known in the brotherhood, and we appreciate him using his influence in the way that he does. So that's coming January the 9th. January the 15th, I still don't actually have a flyer for this event. So I don't know that I can actually mention this event. But ladies, hello? Ladies, January 15th, mark your calendar because I think we have an event that you might want to know about. I will try very hard to try and get that announcement out here as soon as I can. I just haven't gotten confirmation, and I hate to announce something that's not actually coming. So, kind of embarrassing on my part, but it is what it is. We'll get that out when we can. But stay tuned for January the 15th announcement. Also, coming in February, the first weekend there, the 5th and 6th, especially the 5th, Make Me a Servant Workshop. It's like our 100th annual. I mean, this thing's been going on for years now. But we are thankful for so many that have volunteered to come out. We have Carl McCann coming to us. We have Tavares Armstrong coming to us. And we've got Scott Dukowski coming to us, all to address the subject of peace, be still. And so their classes, their sermons, they will all have to do with being peaceful in a society that's just lost their minds. We'll have a question and answer series that will end the day. And so Scott and Tavares and Carl will all have the ability to stand before us and take one or two of these questions and lay them out before us in a great response so that we can all understand it. But these questions that are coming in, they have to do with the title. And so these, I've seen a few of the questions already and been very impressed. Appreciate so very much even the Brown Trail School of Preaching for helping us with coming up with these well-worded questions. So keep the questions coming in and make sure that we get them in a timely fashion, these speakers. They would like to have plenty of time to prepare for answering these questions. So you can email those to us. Certainly, you can use my email, chiphorton64@gmail.com, or you can hit us here on the network line, which is mornings@tgrn.org. Either one of those is fine. You can call us here at the building, 903-537-4129. We'd be glad to take that there. Anthea will answer your call. Or if it is the case that we're actually, you know, still closed because of the holiday or whatever, leave your message. We do have a working line that will take those messages. So one way or another, if you come up with a good question to be shared with the forum that day, make sure we get those in a timely fashion. So that's coming February the 5th, and it's going to roll into our worship assembly and Friends Day on the 6th of February. So make those plans to be here if you can, and we would appreciate it very much. Also, last but not least, we have been notified that, again, the DeKalb Church Christ has scheduled an event for February the 25th. It's their 12th annual gospel singing, and they're saying that refreshments will be provided on the night of the 25th, and the times are going to be listed as 7 to 9:30 p.m. So if you love to sing like we should, because, I mean, that's what eternity is going to be all about, then plan to be a part of this event, February the 25th, 7 to 9:30 at the DeKalb Church of Christ. That's all I have on the bulletin board, other than to remind us to make sure and listen throughout the day to tgrn.org. Take advantage of the Telstar archives that will be playing even from the lunch hour on, basically, throughout the, what is it, supper or dinner? I don't know what we call that, but around the 6, 6:30 hour, that will be continuing to play. So if you have the ability, then go ahead and keep us on all day long. That would be great. We do continue to bang the drum for Deanna De Leon as she continues to heal down in the New Waverly area at her mom's house. She is a survivor of that incredible car wreck that unfortunately took even her husband's life. Terrible situation for such a young lady to have to go through such a thing like this early in life. But she has good folks all around her, and you good brethren have been lifting up prayers. I know our sister Tammy has been working very hard alongside with her and her mom. So lots of prayers going up. Lots of recovery is happening. Surgeries are going well in Deanna's case, as I am hearing from Tammy. So y'all continue to pray, please, on her behalf. Well, that's all the paperwork I see in front of me. So I tell you what, let's move on with our Bible study, which is always preceded by what? That's right. You got to get those coffee mugs, lift them up. Got to have that Folgers coffee here early on a Friday morning at 9 o'clock. You ready? Here we go. Oh, boy. Man, that's good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break precedent here. I'm going to take a second drink. You with me? Let's do it. Mmm. Wow. Love the coffee. Anyway, so we, last time we were together, we had the opportunity to break into this section of Matthew where we are looking, certainly, as you remember in chapter 9, we are in this section between verses 18 and 26, I guess is a good place to call it quits. But here, there's two miraculous events that take place, and as we began last week in verse 18 and 19, we were introduced to Jairus. And so let's just back up and refresh very quickly. In verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him and his disciples." Now, we mentioned last week, I'm pretty sure we mentioned last week, that in the parallel accounts, that is, even with Mark and with Luke, we have a little bit of additional information that's given. And it's kind of interesting if you've got one of those particular editions. I think it's called the Harmony of the Gospels, perhaps, is the title. But the entire text is laid out page after page with four columns, and that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all of those columns have listed the texts that are written through each of the gospel accounts. And so you can go right across the way and you can see if Luke mentions nothing or if all four of the gospel accounts mention something. It's really a neat addition to have, and it's helped me quite a bit. But anyway, I digress. In Mark's account, Mark gives some of the greatest detail, perhaps, even more than what we find here in Matthew. Matthew's account really just describes the man's a ruler, but the other accounts say he was a ruler of the synagogue, which is really much more impressive, you know, because you know that the way that the Jews treated Jesus. Matthew's record will indicate that the daughter was already dead, while the others show that she was at the point of death. So when Jesus got to his house, the daughter was indeed dead. And so that's something that we pick up on as we read all of the accounts together. Now, Luke, remember, Luke was the physician, and it's interesting to see from his point of view, in many cases, like in Gethsemane, what it is that he saw even through a physician's eye. So Luke points out that the man's name was Jairus and that this was his only daughter, and she was about 12 years of age. And so these are some tender details that are important to us as we see this take place. So Jesus, obviously answering the call, would walk with him and go to the house, as the scripture shows us, and his disciples would go with him. They're going to witness this event. But then we have an interruption in Matthew's account here. And so what we find is as he began to walk and the crowds would throng him, there was yet another person that approached him for help. And so in verses 20 to 22, Matthew writes, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself," this is her heart's testimony, "if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." What we find here very clearly is a woman of incredible faith. Incredible faith. She said within herself, that is, she was convicted, "If I touch him, I shall be whole. Even just the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." Now, you remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, as the Hebrews writer would show us. And so notice, she had great conviction. And this, as Jesus responds, is based on her faith, thy conviction in truth. That is what has made you whole. And so, here's Jesus walking toward Jairus' house. Not sure exactly how far it was, but there was a distance that had to be covered, and there was a crowd following him. His disciples were following him. There's people all around him. Jesus was one, and obviously I'm not telling you anything new, but Jesus was a fellow that never got any rest. The people constantly thronged him. Imagine what it's like in heaven. Millions and millions of prayers coming up every second of our calendar day, every second of his eternity, constantly busy. Jesus, Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 22, is ruling over all things to the church. He's still busy today, and the masses of people still throng him. So, kind of interesting that this was seen in a physical fashion, right? That he is constantly working, constantly busy. So the woman who had this disease, you know, 12 years is a long time. We have seen commercials on TV where people have, you know, skin issues and diabetes issues and things of that nature, and they've had them for a long time. And then this new mechanism, this new drug or something comes along to be able to help them. And, you know, they say the results come soon, you know, within 30 to 60 days. The medicine has to get into your system, you know, things of that nature. And we're happy for that. We're tickled that there's something that can finally help us, you know, control our diabetes or to help us with a certain skin irritation or something, right? But notice that there's never a 30 to 60 day waiting period to let his power get into your system and start to show itself. No, sir, no, ma'am. Immediate. So we're not really told a whole lot about her. We don't have a lot of particulars about her. But whatever she had been doing for all these years, she had found no relief. Now, if I had to guess, I would say that she had been to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. And again, imagine as Luke, the doctor, the physician, as Luke is watching this, the amazement that is going to be seen in his eyes, the amazement as he himself will be like others in the boat. What sort of man is this that controls even the wind and the waves? Be astonished at his teaching, at his abilities. Over and again we see this in those that follow him, those that hear him, those that see him. So we don't know much about the lady, except that she had been sick with this issue for some 12 years. She was plagued by this problem. But based on the evidence, she understood what she needed to do. And brethren, if that's not a teaching moment, man, I just don't know what it is. Because based on the evidence, let's say Genesis to Revelation, people need to know what they need to do. And so understanding that God is all-powerful, Genesis 1, knowing that God cares, God saves, judges, knowing that he planned from the beginning of time to send us a Savior, Isaiah, having seen the great birth that was promised from the foundation of the earth, Matthew, we stand in awe just like those that saw him in the flesh. And this is the evidence that we have in the Scripture. And so we have come to find out that God speaks truth. God keeps his promises. God never lies. God will not lay on us more than we can handle. He will provide escape through faith to those that are going through trials. Over and again, we are comforted as well. Just like this young lady, Jesus said, "Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You know, you might very well liken that unto the teaching of the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be whole from that hour. That's a teaching of Jesus Christ. When we are immersed, raised to walk in newness of life, it is an immediate thing. In Colossians 2, Paul tells us very clearly that it is God's obligation, because he has promised it, that if we are obedient unto his will, he will remove transgression immediately. Remember, Micah tells us that it is tossed to the bottom of the ocean, never to be seen again. It's taken as far as east is from west, removed from his sight. And we would do good to remove it from our sight instead of revisiting our failings of the past, which do nothing but drag us down. This lady, yes, sick for 12 years. Yes, more than likely had tried everything to get over this particular plague. But based on the evidence, hearing what Jesus had done, perhaps even seeing what Jesus had done, she knew the power. She knew the power that he possessed, just like Nicodemus in John 3. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, I recognize who you are, because no one can do the things that you do except they come from God. Nicodemus knew. His disciples were quickly learning, this woman knew who Jesus was and knew the power. We would do good. We would do good to recognize the power of Jesus in our daily lives, understanding that He will answer prayer. He will save your soul eternally. But there's a few things that we must do. She had to reach out and touch His garment. She then did something based on her faith. You see, faith always does something. Some of our religious friends insist that faith alone saves, and that's not true. Her faith was indeed great, but her faith was not stagnant. Her faith was not complacent. Her faith was an active faith, just like all of those that are recorded for all of eternity there in Hebrews 11. Their faith caused them to do something. Here, she followed Jesus, reached out, touched His garment, and He said, "That's exactly what you should have done. And so thy faith has made thee whole." Don't know much about the lady, but as you sit and look at the details of this passage, we come to find out we know a lot about this lady, don't we? Faithful, acting, busy lady. And healed immediately, as the scripture says. Made whole from that hour. Well, as you think about Mark and Luke's account, you might have recalled that you didn't see it here, but in these accounts, it is the case that Jesus wanted to know right away, "Who has touched me?" Well, Peter and the others, they weren't necessarily sure. There were so many people around. I don't know. I mean, who was it? I don't know. And so in that answer, we really get a picture. We can actually be standing here with Jesus and see exactly what's going on. I mean, He is literally being thronged by the people in such a mass that even when He asks this question, "Who touched my garment?" Nobody knows because there's so many people there. Could have been him, could have been her, could have been them, could have been... But Jesus knew. As soon as He talked to her, He knew. And He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." So, as you think about what we're watching. Remember, Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house to do a phenomenal work with the young girl, Jairus' only daughter, that apparently was dead. But in the midst of this, going to do this incredible work, He takes a moment to do another incredible work. This is certainly a reflection of what Luke records in his second book, the book of Acts, as it begins, and he says this is a record of all that Jesus did and taught before He was taken home. I wonder if we're that busy, even until the day that the Lord takes us home. I relate it on as many opportunities as I can. I had a dear friend, a great brother in Christ, a soldier of the cross, many years ago, down in Mississippi. And every time we announced there's going to be a door knocking, every time we announced any kind of an evangelistic event, and there for a while, I think it was every weekend, as we had to get into the bushes and really shake it up a little bit to get that thing going. But he never missed an event. He often beat me to the building. He made my bookshelves for me as a young preacher. This was an incredible light of influence in my life, a shining beacon in that community. And so, after we moved away some years later, I remember hearing the report that... he had contracted dementia or Alzheimer's or something. And they had found him, downtown, walking around, didn't know where he was. And he ended up dying from that horrible disease. But I thought to myself, this is exactly what we need to be doing, working until the day that we can't. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. Now, that might be a car accident that renders us a vegetable, renders us unable to walk or speak. I don't know. A stroke that removes your abilities. I remember a young man named R.C. Pollen. Had the pleasure of knowing him and loving him even here in the Mount Vernon community for several years before he passed. But that young man, I say young man, y'all that know him know he was an aged man, but he made the rest of us look bad. He had had a stroke, terrible stroke, and days gone by, and he was the proverbial one-armed paper hanger. Nothing stopped that young man from working, from being here in the assembly every time the doors were open. I could just go on and on, but the point that I was originally trying to make is that Jesus worked feverishly until the day that the Lord took him home, even as you see there in Acts chapter 1, that great fulfillment of Daniel 7. Verses 13 and 14, one like the Son of Man going to the Ancient of Days and receiving glory and power and a kingdom. Hope that we can behave just like Jesus. I mean, if we're Christians, if we're disciples of His, we'll do just that. Nevertheless, here, as he continues to march toward Jairus' house, he has had this event with the young lady that touched his garment. She has been made whole because of her great faith in the power of the Savior. In verse 23, we pick up, Jesus came into the ruler's house. He saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, and he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. Very quick and to the point, Matthew is with this particular event. And I submit to you that that's the way Jesus is. Quick and to the point. No need to dally around, be dilly-dally around, as it were, because there's work to be done. Got to move on to the next individual, the next situation. And really, that's the way that we should behave as well. Got work to do. No time to dilly-dally. And so, great company arrives here at Jairus' house, and the news that the daughter was dead is that which was the greeting. The minstrels had arrived, that is, the flute players, maybe I think the American Standard says, and even the professional mourners, they were even there. And so this tells you she was dead. Why call the flute players? Why call the professional mourners if she's not dead? Now, the fact that Jesus said that she sleepeth, even the same language that he would use about Lazarus, if I'm not mistaken. This is an opportunity for us to watch Jesus in action. Any others that would listen. Sleeping? Are you kidding me? They are not familiar with the spiritual language that God Almighty uses. And so it's not strange to me that they would, quote-unquote, laugh him to scorn. This is the way that much of the world behaves even today as the spiritual language of the gospel is proclaimed day after day. Think about the little girl. Again, don't know much about her. just like the woman that touched the hem of the garment, don't know much about them. But as you think and you look and you see the other accounts, it is evident to me that this was one of the most surreal moments, even for Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, as he, according to these parallel accounts, had lost his only daughter. You know, this is the opportunity to sit back and watch the compassion of Jesus Christ. That she was dead is evident from the fact that Jairus had already hired professional mourners. We don't call the undertaker until we know that our loved one is dead. You know, here in town, we've got the Sam Harvey Funeral Home, and, you know, you don't see that brown Suburban sitting in someone's driveway unless it's been called, right? There's a process, you know. Now, hospice might be called prior to death, but the funeral home's not called. The arrangements are not made necessarily until actually the death takes place. And so, by looking at the evidence, it appears to me that she was dead. The fact that all were scoffing as Jesus made this comment, again, proclaims she was dead. So at the command of Jesus, the crowd leaves the room, and in the presence of Peter, James, and John, he took the young lady by the hand, and she rose right up. So in the presence of these five people, witnesses to the miracle of Jesus, great proclamations are made even today. Jesus has the power to raise us from the dead. Jesus has the power to raise us from those that are the deadness, the bondage of sin. And so when we are raised to walk in newness of life, we are raised like he was raised, Romans 6, especially verses 3 and 4. What a blessing it is to have such a powerful brother, a powerful king and redeemer as Jesus Christ. She stood right up. Now, if you're Peter, James, and John, your mouth is probably, you know, your jaw has dropped. Please remember that it would be Peter, James, and John that would witness so much. Several that stand out in our minds are certainly the mountaintop experience, the Mount of Transfiguration in chapter 17 of this same great book. Peter answering when he saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus, shall we make tabernacles for each? And then when they disappear, and this great voice that loudly proclaims in a thundering, powerous voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Again, in Gethsemane, these three that would sit just a short distance from where Jesus was praying, and he would bid them to watch and pray. And he would come back and find them sleeping. Several times, as we look into Scripture, we find that Peter, James, and John are the three that are constantly witnessing incredible events. They're privileged here to see this event unfold in front of their very eyes. The raising of Jairus' daughter, his only daughter that he loved, his only daughter that he loved so much that he ran to find Jesus. How much do you love those that are around you? Have you run to get Jesus for them? Man, I'm telling you, brethren, this is some powerful stuff right here. As the apostles went and got their friends. You remember, so many times, people are drawn to come see Jesus. Maybe this is part of the language that Jesus uses in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need rest. Rest from the bondage of sin. Rest from the malady that sin produces in our society. We need rest from that garbage, man. Here, Peter, James, and John, witnesses to the great miracle, says that right after this, the Lord's fame spread throughout the land, raising up one like Jairus' daughter, undeniably dead, because they laughed at her. Undeniable that this was a wondrous account. Could not be denied. Could not be denied. And so his fame continued to grow and grow. And with that, I would submit unto you that the crowds began to grow and grow. Remember the two opportunities that he fed these crowds? You remember the 5,000? Can you imagine feeding 5,000 people in your backyard? Jesus did it. Jesus did it twice. So again, we are drawn to Jesus by the evidence of his great power and magnitude. Beginning of verse 27, we move into yet another powerful event, that is the healing of the two blind men. And so we continue to see Jesus hard at work. And Matthew records this event in such a way that we too will stand in awe. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. As Jesus was leaving Jairus' house, there was two blind men that were following, crying out for mercy. They wanted to have their sight restored. Now, Matthew's the only gospel writer to describe this event, so we're intrigued, I guess you could say. You know, the many times that we stand back and look in our Bible studies, we often say, if a thing is stated twice, you should probably pay attention, you know. In Luke, you know, where Jesus says, repent or perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Galatians 1, right? As I said before, so say I now again. Again, we have the opportunity to listen as the message comes twice. We are tickled to see when a certain word only appears once in the Bible. And here we are certainly intrigued when an event is only recorded by one writer. So here the blind man, the blind men rather, the blind men knew, again, the evidence that they had heard about the power of Jesus to heal others. You know, as you kind of read through history, Palestinian history, Jewish history, things of that nature, one of the things that kind of pops out is the fact that blindness was one of the common afflictions back in that day. It was something that a lot of people actually dealt with, which is certainly sad. I remember one of our good brethren that just recently passed away, and he had come up with, I guess it was glaucoma or something of that nature, but he was basically blind. He could put a magnifying glass right down on a piece of paper and make out a couple of letters maybe, but for all practical purposes, he was blind. And he said that he really struggled with that. That was a hard road to trod, having something like that taken away. Can't even imagine. Wouldn't want to imagine. But evidently, this in the Palestinian area was something that people had the opportunity to deal with regularly. Folks that were, you know, losing their sight. But anyway, here we go. They refer to Jesus as the Son of David, indicating that they believed him to be the Messiah. So again, as you think about, you know, Jairus, as you think about the lady that touched Jesus' garment, as you think about even some of the demonic individuals that we run into that cry out, "Thou Son of David, a Son of the Living God," etc., we understand that people understand who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. And so here, same situation arrives. The men that studied and taught the law, you know, these religious men of the day, they didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. No, they didn't. But here, individuals like these two blind men, they understood who he was. He was, is Messiah. What a beautiful picture to see. He is the Messiah. Verse 28, when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." So the Lord apparently ignored the cries until he got to where he was going. Ignored maybe is a, I don't know, maybe is a harsh word to use. But he continued to travel, hearing their cries. And he got to where he was going, and here we have the opportunity to see that he replies. These individuals being blind, they had evidently heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed. And so he allowed them, basically, to follow him and persist in their questioning. And, you know, really, at the end of the day, you know, after reading accounts like this, seeing the lady that followed, the crowds that followed Jairus, the synagogue ruler, over again, as you see these individuals, I hear everybody in the crowd screaming, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus, hear me, Jesus." And so these two men, they weren't the only ones crying out, in my estimation. But yet, these two individuals were following and crying out, and Jesus continued to listen to them as all those that must have been screaming out, trying to get his attention. Verse 29, beginning, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Jesus touched their eyes. And it wasn't a 30-day trial. It wasn't, "Take this and call me in the morning." Their sight was healed immediately. It didn't say that they had been born blind. Could have been. There was a guy over in, was it John 9, that was in that situation. Could have been. But whatever the case, and there's no point in really speculating, but in their case, sight was restored. Not an insignificant miracle, by the way, right? This is something pretty profound. You know, we don't see those things today. You know, you got these Benny Hinn's and these imitators running around on TV trying to pop people in the head and, "Hey, y'all." That's not what we got here. This is the power of God, the creator of the universe, on display. He has power over all. And so here, another moment in time to watch the power and compassion of God, the love of God being spread to all those that have faith. Again, you see the lady that touched the garment. Please help me. I know that if I touch the garment, I'll be fine. These two men following Jesus for whatever distance it was, please heal us. Please help us. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it off right here before we get into this next section. Next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up at verse number 32. And we'll look at the healing of the dumb, demon-possessed man, beginning at verse 32. I really appreciate y'all being with us today. I hope that your Christmas holiday is phenomenal. Mine already is. I'm surrounded by family, and great love abounds. We have a loving family here in Mount Vernon, Texas. The ones that make this possible today, the gospelradionetwork.org, and you abroad as listeners, and you abroad as donators, donating of your time as speakers, donating of your funds as contributors, donating of your time as listeners. We are so, so thankful, and we love you very much for that. So with that, again, thank you for listening, and tell others about the Gospel Radio Network. Have an incredible holiday weekend, and those of you locally, we'll see you on the first day of the week as we worship in spirit and in truth. May God bless you this day and throughout the entirety of your life as you obey Him and confess Him before all mankind. We love you very much, and we'll be seeing you.